Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
And this is Chris.
Yes.
This does not look like La Cocina Studios, man.
This is not the studio. No, we are live at Comapalooza over here in Houston, Texas. And they let us in for some reason. Yeah.
They did a good job of fooling me. I've been to conventions before and it usually doesn't smell this clean.
Yeah. Whew, you scared me for a second. I thought you were going to try to offend our audience. All right. No, it's good. Yes, it's actually been a well-organized convention compared to other conventions I've been to.
Yeah, and you've been to many. You get out. Yeah, well, you don't get out of the house unless it's a convention. Otherwise, you're at home.
Thank you, Chris. Yes. The volunteer has been knowledgeable. It's been well-organized. The ones I've dealt with, anyways. So, and the staff's been really good. So, yeah, it's actually been a very good time up here so far. So,
yeah.
So, we're here talking for a reason, right?
And I didn't know we had a reason. They just told us, hey, man, you got to slot at 4 o'clock on, no, at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. And then you, being white, said, no one's going to watch us at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So you pulled your white strings and you got us here at 4 o'clock where there's actually people.
Yeah. See, and it worked, right? See?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I never doubt you. I'm just pointing out fact and not complaints. Yeah.
Actually, when I signed up for this thing, I was told, hey, man, all you got to do is take some pictures, put them on Instagram, hashtag Comapalooza, and all this other stuff. That's
they
all I got you.
They got you. That's how Jehovah's Witnesses got me.
Because I was going to go, but then I was like, hey, you get free passes. I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it. It wasn't until after I signed up for everything, that's when I got the email that said, here's your slot for your
recording.
What? I got to do stuff?
We don't get paid for this at home.
Yeah, so That's how it came to be here. So. Yeah.
So we had no idea what to do until last night.
Yeah, and I was like, what are we going to talk about? And then I was like, you know what? For this show, Pop Culture Rewind, we talk a lot about movies, TV shows, things like that. But we've never really talked about comics for some reason. Unless we're talking about like the MCU stuff, you know, all the Marvel stuff, how it ties into the comics and stuff like that. But we've never talked about comics and how it got into comics.
Well, I don't read. I just look at pictures.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. So I thought, hey, we're at Comapalooza. Stop doing it. We're at Comapalooza. Why don't we talk about what actually got us into comics originally? You know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was around, you know, we had like Batman, Superman, X-Men, things like that. So what was it actually that got us hooked into this, the medium of comics?
Television. Nothing to do with comics at all. I know
you're going to work way back into
this. Yeah, I'll get there eventually.
Okay.
Growing up as a kid, and my dad, one of the very few things I like about my dad, he got me introduced to the 1966 Batman series.
Because
back then,
syndication.
Before cable, it was still syndication, so they were showing shows that were 20, 30, 40 years old.
Right.
Like, I still think Mama's Family is something from the 90s. I didn't realize that was like fucking like old school, like Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Right, it's embedded in our mind.
So that's like my very first glimpse of like what it was before I knew it was what it was. Like, I didn't know Batman was comics. I just assumed 10-year-old punk kid watching 1966 Batman. Okay, that's an awesome TV show. And then, what, 5 years later? Animated series. Oh, crap. Okay, Batman's now a cartoon.
Yeah.
I still, like, I'm in the back of the bus. I didn't realize this was, like, Bob Kane, 1960s, 1950s.
Well, to copy on that, it was like I grew up on the 66 Batman. And then you say, hey, it's a comic. Let me go get a comic real quick. And then you read the comic. It's like totally different from what that series was. And then cut to 89 when the Batman movie came out. That's like a total 180 from what that series was. But, there is a link, I think, to when I was, I know for me, when growing up in the 80s, like Batman and Superman were just a thing in pop culture where I didn't really grasp onto them from comics per se, but they were just everywhere, you know, whether it was from Super Friends or like action figures. Do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they were everywhere. Yeah. Right.
That TV show very, very incorrectly misinterpreted the size of bombs. Every time I think of bombs, it's got to be something freaking massive. And I'm looking around for something big and round and black. That came out very
friendly.
That was not vulgar.
Actually, that reminds
one
me.
One kid, and I bet you have Discovery Channel at home.
There was a guy dressed up as Adam West Batman
with the bomb.
And he had the bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. It's kind of funny. But yeah, I think that was a nice gateway into reading comics, to the point where I first got into it. It was more or less that, and somehow with X-Men came in. I want to say rumors were coming around about the X-Men. There's a new animated series that was about to come out, and we got to check this out. And when that came out, then that's when you get introduced to all...
Yeah,
everybody knows that theme song, right? So that actually got me into the comic shops, collecting X-Men.
Wow.
And I want to say my first big storylines that I got into was one of the X-Men crossover series, Executioner Song. And that introduced me to Cable, time travel, and all this other stuff, Bishop, and all this other stuff. And that was where we finalized, you know, we see... like crossovers, you know, X-Factor was a thing and X-Force was a thing, and then we see them actually, you know, fighting out with the actual X-Men. That was pretty crazy. That was a big, what, 16-part series? It was like for three issues of all three series. And that was just kind of crazy. It was fun, too, going to a comic shop, getting those, also picking up Wizard magazines to find out what else was going on. Wizard was a big thing too. Like that was like the first time we actually had something tangible that you could actually get and you could kind of relate and find out who these people were, these the artists, writers, and what else was coming down, the top 10 comics of the month, top 10 the artists and series that was coming out. But yeah, Executioner Song, I think that was my first one. That was fun. It was actually fun collecting, like tracking down, and plus that particular series had they were bagged and you had like the little cards, the little collector's cards that came with it.
You get nostalgia from the first row.
Thank you. Yeah. So that I think being introduced to the world of comics through like Superman, Batman, even though I was kind of late in the game getting into those, but I think it was X-Men that actually got me hooked into, to the point where X-Men is still my go-to comic series. Okay. So what about you? Do you have like your first comic series that you actually got into?
So this is going to be very disappointing for a Pop Culture Rewind panel.
Because, I'm used to it. Come on. Yeah, listeners used to it.
I was very late in the game. Very late in the game. I just saw stuff on TV, the old Batman TV show, X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman Animated Series. Like, okay, it's a cartoon or it's a TV show. And then I started playing X-Men versus Street Fighter and Marvel Capcom 1 and War of the Gems. I was like, okay, it's a video game. Not once did it ever compel me to actually go into the comic book stores and go. Because at that age, being raised kind of religiously, there's certain things that you couldn't do. So I just tried to take in what I could when I had the outlet, when I found the outlet to do it. So I didn't actually start buying comics maybe till about 12 years ago, 10 years ago. That's probably going to take a lot of people by surprise, but yeah. But that didn't mean I didn't know what was going on, especially I think when I was younger and I started to work. I was 16, 17, and I finally was able to drive, and I went to my first comic book store. I forget. I think it was Third Planet.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. And I went there, and you go into Third Planet, you open the door, and it's like, it's like all in your face at once, and there's so much, it's so much that you don't even know where to begin. So out of fear, I just... Did it?
For those of you who don't know, like Third Planet is a shop over in Houston that sells, well, back in the, even in the 90s when I would go there, they sold like old stuff from the 80s, you know, and that was like toys, different kinds, like a lot, the huge selection of back issues. They had like just like boxes and bins just full of like
old, bins.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
Actually, you can get lost in them very quickly, just digging through stuff, and then 2.5 hours later, you've gone through the whole thing. And you've got a handful of stuff.
Quick note about that. Third Planet is where I first got started my Transformers collection.
Ah. Do they sponsor our show?
No.
Then shut the hell up. We don't need to talk about them anymore. But yeah, so as far as like trade paperbacks and books, I didn't get into that until later. But dude, being a kid, buying Transformers toys and buying animated series figures and Wolverine figures with the claws that extended in and out when you slid them on the side.
Right, the Toy Biz.
Toy Biz. Yeah. I had a lot of those.
Yeah.
Hidden. I used to get my money And I would buy them, and I would hide them in a shoebox in the very back of the closet so my parents, so my mom didn't find out. So I remember, like, you're going to go to hell if you play with Wolverine. Skeet. Like, okay, yeah. And look how I turned out.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, it's funny because, yeah, the X-Men with that cartoon, the animated cartoon that came out, that kind of opened up the floodgates for all kinds of stuff for X-Men. The Toy Biz figures, that was a big one, too. They had several series that came out of that, and you had to have at least one Wolverine figure in each series. And by God, you had probably like 10, 15 different Wolverine figures by the end of all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of fun. So was, I know you said you just, about 10, 15 years ago, you got in, what was it that got, which issues
what
were?
What got me in the door?
Yeah.
Again,
what did you have to
I'm
buy?
I'm going to get another X on me. So, huge Transformers kid.
Yeah.
From the 80s. Death of Optimus Prime made me a man very fast. I found out online that there were prequel comics that were being sold in advance of the first Transformers movie.
Right.
So that they can, so you can read to figure out how everyone got to where they got when the movie started. And they had, like, in that month before, they released a new prequel comic every week.
Right.
And that actually got me in the store to actually put money down to leave with a piece of paper with staples in the middle that was folded that you read with words on it.
That's how they got me. In your defense, that was before the first movie came out.
Yeah.
So we didn't know how it was going to play out.
And then they did. And then it was like the month before. And then that month, they were actually doing the actual comic adaptations of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's what got me into it. And then I started, like, the fear came off. I was like, all right, I got it. I'm in the shallow end of the pool, but I'm actually in the water. So let me slowly get in there and see what
I said that X-Men was my first go-to thing. But as a kid, I still, like, would get comics, issues randomly throughout, you know. Case in point, I remember getting random issues of old, like, the G.I. Joe comic, you know, or the Transformers comic. Totally different from the cartoons, for sure. But again, that was my first kind of taste of what the comic book medium was, you know.
And that's where I started diving really heavy into Transformers after that first movie, because you see this big, like, massive shelf of all Marvel and, like, 8 different versions of Iron Man and 4 different X-Men. And then you look on the left and you see all these DC comics, like 9 versions of Batman and 4 versions of Superman and 1 pasty white Superman. And then in the middle is, like, the indie stuff. And there was a couple of IDWs. And there's, like, oh, great. They're doing a brand new Transformers comic from Jump.
Right.
I can start from issue number 1 and actually start from the beginning and have the feeling that everyone else has had, like a human being for all their freaking life, of actually buying one, reading it, and holy crap, we got to wait for the next one. And that's how I slowly started getting in.
All right. So the Transformers prequels for you.
Or the Gateway.
All right.
Yeah.
Executioner song. I'm sticking to that as my go-to. What do we got? We got some people up here. You want to ask these people?
Why not?
You a big comic book reader? Okay, so what was the first thing, sir, that...
I couldn't read.
Okay.
In third grade, I couldn't read.
Yeah?
I couldn't read, so the counselor at the school told my mom, hey, why don't you get him into comic books?
There you go.
And then the second I opened up comic books, it just kept going. And they were just happy I was reading.
What was it that got you in? Do you remember?
No, I mean, I read the old G.I. Joe. I remember the old G.I. Joe. I didn't find out till later how much it had to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. Before they scrapped it and sold it to a toy manufacturer, which I just now I find amazing.
Right.
But, and then even if you look at Thundercats and Ninja Turtles comic books.
Yeah. Ninja Turtles even started off as comics. You know, it wasn't until the cartoon came out. That's what it really snowballed. Yes, sir. Would you like to...
What got you into comics?
Sorry, what was the question?
What got you in? What was your first big comic storyline?
Spider-Man. I was a big fan of the Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man? Yes.
Yeah. But to your question, it was Maximum Carnage around 1991, maybe, I think.
91, 92.
Yeah, it was the Amazing Spider-Man series. They introduced him, Like, there was a small little segue in the middle of Amazing Spider-Man where Cletus Cassidy escapes.
Yes.
Next issue, there's another episode, there's another one-page panel, one page, where he kills the guy.
Yeah.
Next issue, you know, they were teasing you
right.
about it, and then finally Maximum Carnage hits, and it crossed over between Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, and I had to buy comics I wasn't even reading at the time.
Yeah.
That's how they get you. Yeah.
Yeah,
so next thing you know, I'm buying other comics that I wasn't even subscribing to, and it was, talk about synergy. I don't think that was a word at the time.
Right.
Maybe that's not even the right use of the word, but Maximum Carnage was sort of what made me realize what comics could do, what they could accomplish with good stories, and how much they could empty my wallet.
Yes.
Of an 11-year-old kid.
You know it, you leave a comic book store sleeping on your parents' couch all broke.
Yeah, I mean,
that's smarter.
I got $5 a week for cutting grass, and I was blowing it all in comics.
And if you didn't recognize that voice, that was one of our co-hosts from Pop Culture Rewind. Xavier, come on and say hi. Yeah.
Hi.
There you go. Good to have you back, buddy. All right. Sir?
And to get recognition, who is your name that you spoke first? Mike.
Mike.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Sir?
Who is this guy that I've never seen before that's the man version of Rogue?
Donde está la biblioteca?
Rogue? What?
Hair, man.
Fine, Seth Rollins.
You see what happens when you cut your Nakamura hair? Cholo Mora?
This ain't a wrestling podcast, okay. All right.
They do have comics. It counts.
It does count.
We'll let it go. Quiet.
You stay out of this.
Okay, Skrillex.
All right. So what was the big comic story that got you hooked?
They got me hooked. Oh, damn.
This is interesting. He has like 8 different tattoos of 9 different people.
Yeah. We had Maximum Carnage. We have Executioner Song.
G.I. That was Joe. Maximum Carnage was kind of it. I mean,
you're a big Spider-Man guy.
Yeah, I am. Maximum Carnage got me in. So I mean, Unlimited Spider-Man Unlimited number 1. That was the start of that arc.
Spider-Man Unlimited, yeah.
Spider-Man Unlimited, number 1. And then the Sensational, they kept the little cassette tape. The little, cassette tape of the theme song from the cartoon.
That's it? Yeah.
Sensational Spider-Man number 1, yeah.
All right.
You can't bag and board it because they got a cassette in there. So, yeah, so that's what... It's a cassette.
A cassette?
You're old enough to know that. Come on, you've seen Stranger Things.
Yeah, but the listeners don't know that. I mean, they don't know that I have the body of a 1980 Jean-Claude Van Damme.
There's only 3 listeners, and 2 of them are
here.
In
2025, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Everybody go away.
Yeah, Maximum Carnage was there. That was the one that got me in Spider-Man. And then I probably saw this random Green Lantern comic cover, which had him being attacked by, like, yellow Christmas lights. And that was, I thought that was so goofy that I had to buy that, and I read it. It was so stupid that I kept coming back.
But it got you, yeah, so bad. It
got me. Yeah. It got me.
Those bastards. All right. All right, thank you, sir, that I've never seen before in my life. Sir.
Oh, a member of Comic Palooza every Memorial Day week and every year.
cheap luck.
Would you like to tell us what your first big comic story was that got you hooked?
Well, I'm actually not the biggest comic guy, to be perfectly honest, but...
Finally, someone that understands me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
Japanese?
Like honestly, earliest exposure. Oh, I'm fine. Earliest exposure to anything like, you know, Marvel, DC, anything like that was maybe Super Friends.
Okay,
it was Super Friends back in the day, but then not too long after that, you know, of course, the Batman animated series came out, and that definitely changed a lot of things, but. For me, I don't know what it is. I never got that into going out and collecting the comics. It was, I guess it's also because of the fact that I didn't really get that much money from my parents or anything like that. So it's like, you know, it just wasn't something I could really go out and collect a lot. So it was.
But you like the, I mean, but you like.
Yeah. And I like the worlds and everything. Right, I like the characters and all that stuff. So it's great. And then, and admittedly, yeah, later on, I ended up going more the Japanese side manga and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up going that direction as far as collecting.
Well, that's a good aspect of it right there, the Japanese manga.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, you know, seeing now, like, so many years later where there's a lot of that, now you're seeing more crossover with that, like, what was it, only 5 years ago, there was a whole deal with Marvel and the animation studio Madhouse. They did, like, a series of animes, which they weren't that great, but anyway, it was cool to see it.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
I like the X-Men animated.
Actually, for some reason, I missed that one. I watched most of the Wolverine one.
I saw
the Wolverine one and the Iron Man one. I think I missed, was it Blade?
I think Blade did one.
Yeah. Yeah, Iron Man is some surfer. They've been there before. There was a lot of cartoons that you don't even know about.
Yeah. No, there was...
Marvel did a deal with a Japanese anime to do four. It was for the G4 network, I think. So it was Wolverine.
There's four of them.
It was Wolverine,
X-Men,
Blade, and Iron Man.
Yeah.
Where it was all anime drawn, and it was all in Japan. Like it was all Tokyo. Yeah.
What were we talking about? Yeah, comics.
Comics. Yes.
Yeah, I like I said, I go back to the X-Men Executioner song. That was my big one. But at the same time, there's a couple other really big storylines that grabbed a lot of people's attention at the same time frame that just so happened to be when I was getting this stuff, which was the death of Superman.
The
death of Superman with Doomsday and all that.
The black cover.
I'm telling you, man, when I got into comics, it was like Doomsday, like part one. It was like the intro, like when he was still, like he had just busted out and like he was about to start reaching Earth, whatever, and he was about to start it. I think it was like two issues before the Justice League issue where he just like tore them apart, like pretty much almost killed them all. But then, I remember going to the comic shop and seeing the black bagged Superman number 75, I believe.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong, still impressed.
Right? Just go with it. Just go with it. They won't look it up.
Nobody has phones.
And I remember the year right after that. Because you had the death of Superman, then you had the funeral for a friend, and then you had the reign of the Superman. Hey, you know what? I don't care what you say now. At the time, that was really cool. For me, anyways. But then after that, it was Batman, Nightfall. That big storyline. Of course, we know that was an introduction of Bane. Set loose all the criminals from Arkham. Leading up to Bane versus Batman, where Bane breaks his back. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. For anyone that hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah. So,
I think the Batman comic that made me a legitimate Batman fan, I think for a lot of people, Killing Joke.
Okay. Yeah.
Pre-cartoon, not last year's, the original book.
Yeah, right.
It blew my mind. And from then, that's when I started, it's one thing to watch the animated series because it's PG, it's G.
Right.
But then when you're reading the details of Killing Joke, like, damn it, and you realize that depressing, that mean, that, like, crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Well, so, after getting into it.
It's fun.
Yes.
There you go.
Did you call in the 1-900 number or whatever it was to vote? Oh, okay. Yeah, you had to vote to see if you wanted. Yeah. Of course. Like, why would you pass that? Why would you pass that up just to see if they're actually going to go through with that or not? Yeah. At that time they had the second. It was Jason Todd, the second Robin, and the DC. They actually published it was a phone number. I think you had to call in. Or mail in or whatever, and it was a number you called in to vote yes or no. Do you want us to kill Jason Todd Robin? And
they overwhelmingly
yes.
It was 100-0. Odds of error 0%.
Like, who's gonna vote to save him? I'm like, come on. Like, even if you liked him, you kind of want to see what they were gonna do, right? Like,
how did he die?
Violently with a crowbar.
Oh my god.
He got sawed.
He was a puddle.
Oh crap.
I think Clay Fodder is made after his.
That sounds about right.
They kind of referenced it. They referenced it on the animated the Red Hood, Under the Red Hood.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I knew that scene was familiar.
They referenced it in Teen Titans Go. There's an urn in the background that says Robin too.
Really?
Nice.
And that was one of. At the time, back in the 90s, there was that cardinal rule of deaths in comic books. You could always come back unless you were either Bucky or Jason Todd.
Or Uncle Ben.
Or Uncle Ben, yes. Ben.
Yeah.
And I think, other than Uncle Ben, I think...
yeah.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, because Bucky never came back until we had Winter Soldier.
Barry Allen never came back. He didn't come
true.
Back for a while.
Okay.
He was
yeah.
gone for like a decade.
Barry Allen. Yeah, I'll give you that one. All right. But then, yeah, Jason Todd, for the longest time, he was gone until they the Red Hood thing. So, going back to Death in the Family, that was a good one. I went back, read Year One and Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns, freaking amazing.
X-Men 1 with all the posters.
Yes, the multi, the Jim Lee, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I have the. Yeah. I have all the individual ones, and I have the big gatefold. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You either make the poster.
Yeah.
Or you unfold the poster.
Yeah. I met Jim Lee last year, and I got him to sign the gatefold X-Men cover.
Nice.
Well, can you not? I mean, you got to get him to sign that one, right? I think if you have a chance. Yeah. So. But yeah, that was another thing back in the 90s was collectability and like how can we market, how can we get as much money from these people as possible.
All the foil covers,
holograms,
chrome covers, glow-in-the-dark covers.
I was a sucker for the holograms. I don't know why, but
oh, the Kubert holograms.
Yeah, yeah. All the X-Men,
X-Factor, X-Force.
Fatal Attractions. Yeah, that was the big storyline. That's, you know what? Actually, Fatal Attractions is probably one of my favorite X-Men crossovers.
Was it Alpha, X-Men Alpha, X-Men Omega, X-Men Prime?
Yeah, from Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, to your point, X-Men Alpha and Omega, those had the chrome. It was the chrome covers.
Okay.
Wraparound
chrome covers.
Yeah. That's top notch right there. You're paying premium $3.99 for that one. Which probably cost you, what, $7.99 now?
$8.99? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And if you're a Daredevil, you have glow-in-the-dark covers, because nothing says blind man like glow-in-the-dark covers. The whole Fall from Grace story.
I was about to say, that was Fall from Grace, right? Yeah. Kind of trying to think of other, like, catchy gimmicks covers. Spider-Man, they had the 25th or 35th anniversary?
30th had McFarlane.
That's what it was, but they all had the centered out hologram covers. Yeah, it was on the Amazing, Web, and Spectacular.
Yep.
And the Spider-Man, the regular Spider-Man.
Had three different covers. So you had the comic, and you had the actual cover.
Yeah.
Like red background, black background, or blue background.
Yeah.
So 1-3.
Well, you had the X-Men number one with all. But then you had the Spider-Man number one. Right? They had all the different covers for that, and they're all bagged up and everything.
Yeah.
So there was Spider-Man, the X-Men.
Did even ask the tour at the time, or maybe Ghost Rider?
No, I'm thinking of. I was thinking of X-Force. X-Force had
the collector cards.
Yeah.
You bought the bags and had the little cards in.
Yeah, but there's like so many different versions of X-Force number one.
Yeah.
Not like Deadpool or Liefeld came out of the bat or anything.
I bet you're thinking what we're having for dinner, right? Because everybody's just like bouncing off like pinballs and we're just like, Frank sounds really good right about now. I'm over a whole pizza.
Well, one, I haven't eaten since like 10 o'clock.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking of like, you know, talking about comics, I'm kind of thinking of other industries and like, if there's any of that spirit still alive, I mean, to a minor extent, if you look at sometimes when movies get released, sometimes certain stores get certain things on them. You still see kind of that. I mean, it still happens in comics. I mean, you talk about IDW releases like what, 8 different versions of every cover of everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, oh, it's only in this one store here that you can get it. It's,
yeah.
But I look too much into the Japanese side of things, of course, but they still kind of keep that with game. Like, if you release a game over there, there's a good chance that there's going to be, like, five different releases of it, because you have to go to, like, 5 different stores to get all the exclusive stuff.
That's no different than here.
It's
GameStop, Target, Best Buy, Walmart.
Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's like when I see
like different
what
incentives.
They do over
different,
there,
yeah.
I don't know. To me over there, it feels like more like, to me, I feel like there's a lot more like, more thing. Like, it's a lot more like statues and things like that. Whereas over here, it's like, oh, you get this downloadable item, you get this costume in the game.
Yeah.
To me, I'd rather it be like
something tangible.
Yeah. Well, they're doing that now for like the. You can. I know GameStop has like the $125, $150
You need statues.
Like the statues.
Yeah.
You mean the Easter eggs that they gave for Marvel Capcom Infinite that looked like such hot garbage?
Actually, it's kind of, I think it was in the European deluxe edition of Ninokuni 2 that just came out. They had a freaking music box in it. In the collector's in like the deluxe collector's room. There was a music box. And I just thought, that's awesome. And then in America, we got this this special edition I bought. We get this stupid little cardboard like diorama thing that doesn't even go together right.
Arkham Knight had quality. A Batmobile, right?
I spent an hour trying to put that thing together.
Yeah, Arkham Knight had the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Arkham, which one had the, was that City or the third one that had the Joker TV setup, like the big statue of Joker?
Oh, it might have been the first one. One of them had a Batarang, I think. Like a collector's edition Batarang.
That was GameStop. That was on the the third Arkham. It had the stand and it had the Batarang. It was freaking huge. You could hold it. With
I thought that was the Batmobile. I thought the Batmobile.
Which one had the Joker? Like they had like the Joker with all the TVs.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, that feels so bad. I gotta be really picky and choosy about that kind of stuff. Like I did that for the Last Guardian because I'm a huge fan of that studio. So I got the statue with the little boy and everything, where my cat pulls out the little boy from the thing all the time.
Cats.
But yeah, I almost did it for God of War. It just came out, but I ended up getting a PS4 Pro.
Nice. What'd you think of God of War? God of War. Not to diverge.
I'm almost done.
You're almost done? Okay. I'm not gonna go over.
I just got past the point where you hate the kid.
Okay.
And then the kid becomes
Star Wars. I beat the game like last week. It's
very good.
It's very good.
Yeah, I've heard the ending.
It's very good.
I wish I would have. If I would have known it would have ended like that, I would have just started from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm
playing Rocket League.
Okay. How many hats are in your collection in Rocket League?
15.
Oh, okay. I was expecting more from you. I'm disappointed.
I got 35 antenna toppers.
That's what I was going to say. Antennas. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I got the DeLorean. I got the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Eh?
I know, he's trying to get me into playing it. I played it once.
It's on the Switch now. You can take it to go. We can play each other.
If you get the one on the Switch, you get Mario Kart, a Luigi Kart, and a Samus Kart.
Yeah.
If you get the PlayStation Edition, you get a Sweet Tooth truck. You get the ice cream truck.
Yeah. So it means you got to buy 4 copies of the game so you can get everything from everything.
That goes back to what he was saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they get you.
Yeah. I think that's all I got.
That's all you got?
trying to think, because we were talking about what kind of got us into comics, some of our favorite, or what initially got us. You had some other ones, right?
I had one more.
Yeah.
And this was like, not just the timing-wise. like maybe 9 or 8 years ago, I found all 4 issues of Wade Wilson's War from Deadpool. That series was awesome, where Deadpool's in court and they're like blaming him and the X-Force for overseas hit.
He takes
the mask off and it's Michael Jackson, and he takes off the mask again and it's something else. Like, oh my god, that stuck with me. That stuck with me for freaking ever. And I freaking loved it. Yeah.
What'd you think of Deadpool 2?
1.5 thumbs up.
Out of how many?
Out of two human thumbs up, it's 1.5.
Well, you had 3 thumbs. You don't
say
3 thumbs down.
All right.
We'll do that one later. But yeah, Wade Wilson's War. All
right.
And that was one of those things because a friend of mine's like, dude, if you like these comics, you need to try this. And I was like, okay. So I literally had to go to 4 different comic book stores to get every single issue because one had number 1, one had number 2, one, and that was when I was like, oh, so this is how it feels like. And it was actually fun doing the hunting stuff. This was before, like now, like we toy hunt. That's another facet of being in this kind of world where if you're looking for action figures, Walmart has one certain figure, Target has another certain figure,
now,
Toys R Us Walgreens before they go broke,
and now Walgreens is getting into it now,
and now Amazon's getting into it now. I was like, oh crap, I got 9 different versions of this place. I gotta like go everywhere. And that's what I did to get those issues of Wade Wilson. So it felt kind of satisfying that I actually got the whole collection instead of just like breaking down and buying the paperback like a jerk.
I'm the one who told you to read that.
Yeah.
Because of Michael Jackson.
and it was fun. So I still have them. Like, there's like the first 60 issues of that Transformers run after the movie came out. I have everything. All the spin-offs, the Bumblebee one, Last Stand of the Wreckers from the Trent, like every, like the, then they did the one shots of Megatron and Orion Pax before he became Optimus, all that stuff. Like I'm getting into it now, like all y'all
doing. I gotta say, those I got into the IDW Transformer stuff like after they've already done it. It's confusing to get into that because there's, like you said, there's so many, like they have one shot specials and it's all about different characters, but that ties in to the main storylines, and then they divert it off.
They'll have that little bubble at the end of the page. For more info, read Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 42, page 2, block 8.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And now they're about to end it. So.
And again, they just split it up, right? Like they did More Than Meets the Eye, and then they did
Last
Robots
year?
In Disguise, like 2 years ago. And that's like, I give up. I had like 5 inches of each.
And now it's like two different storylines, two different titles now. But, You know, it's funny to mention those Deadpool comics. There was it Merc with a Mouth? Or there's another series that he had. They had like movie parodies.
Yes. I have the Rick Grimes Walking Dead variant cover of the. That was the not the recent one, but a Deadpool before it.
Am I right?
That was after Skrulls.
Am I right? Yeah. Is it Merc with a Mouth? Is that the series? Yeah. That was a series I wasn't planning on buying, but I just love the comic, the covers on all of them. And I kind of wanted
famous covers.
Yeah. That's how they got me into the Deadpool one shots, the team ups.
Yeah.
It was Deadpool team up with Ace, the space bus driver.
Trucker.
Yeah, and then
Hercules
and Thor. Is like, how is this gonna work? Like, and halfway through the page, I was like, ah, damn it. And then Killustrated.
No theme.
And yeah.
With the wrestling.
Yeah. I still have all those because they started with like because the Deadpool team ups went backwards. It was like 1,000 to 999. I was like, how much long? How many? And like 10 issues in, I'm thinking, okay, they broke out Hercules. How many freaking characters does Marvel have to do 1,000? And then he stopped like at 60, like 960 something. I was like, oh, thank God. But that would have got me forever. Just like Marvel has now, like 48 movies later in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're going to keep getting us. That's how they would have kept getting me.
Who all has read Infinity Gauntlet before the movie came out?
It's a six-issue series. I have it still.
Yeah.
It's a novel of words.
I've
heard, it's a lot of reading.
I haven't read it in a long time, so if you ask me questions, I was like, there's six rocks.
Yeah.
Gauntlet.
Infinity
Gauntlet.
One thing I've been told that I should be appreciative of is that we should be glad that his motivations were not the comic motivations.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different. Well,
I still want a helicopter.
They kind of swished it around. There's no lady yet.
The same. I mean, he was.
They made her shorter and greener,
and threw her in the Deadpool franchise.
I mean, he was pretty much doing the same thing, but his motivations are a little bit different. But
a lot of talk.
His goal was the same.
A lot of talk. I mean, the goal was the same, but it's just his reason for doing it.
Yeah. So,
you stick a fork in us? Are we done?
No, we got it. Well, I was gonna say, does anybody, if you've already seen Infinity War, any theories on Avengers 4?
I don't feel so good.
You know what?
That's when the cult audience started bawling. When Tom Holland said those words, like half the audience was already sniffling, and the other half was like, "Oh, it's over with." Yeah.
I couldn't get emotional with that Spider-Man one because when they showed Black Panther dust away, I was like, "They're not killing him." He made too much money.
Marvel hates Jews, not blacks.
I was going to say, like, I don't know, anybody that had a movie, that had their movie come out probably any year of Infinity War is coming back. And also Doctor Strange is coming back because he's magic. He's going to come back.
He's
magic.
He's magic,
Well, it didn't help that, like, at their expo last year, they're like, oh, here, you got sequels for this one, sequels for this one, sequels for this one.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, because, you know, wearing the wrestling shirt, I mean, there's always that thing where you put something out there and just say, hey, we're going to do this, and then just like, oh, wait a minute, no, we're not. And just kind of pull it back, like, once you do the big events, then you say, okay, here's the real plan.
I remember the teaser they did a couple of years ago when they were laying out Phase 2, and they had teased Captain America Serpent Society. They should have stuck with that the entire time until like 2 months before the movie came out. Oh, gotcha, bitches. It's Civil War. You know, it's like, I would like teases like that. It's like, okay, the next Spider-Man Homecoming is actually Miles Morales. This one's really dead. Or something like that. But yeah, that same mindset, us reading the internet and knowing all this stuff backhand, You know they're not, all these people aren't going to die.
I'll be honest, the one thing that surprised me about Infinity War is about who lived was the fact that all the original Avengers lived. I thought for sure we were going to be setting up the new team.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, Rabbit. Yeah.
The original's in Rocket.
Yeah. And Rabbit. Get it right.
But that's what surprised me. I was sure that, because I know Robert Downey Jr., I think, is kind of at the point where he wants to be. I think he's kind of like in the Hugh Jackman phase where he wants to
say goodbye.
He wants to kind of step away from it.
Yeah.
I don't like money.
I'm going to just live in my windmill house.
With my three cats that I keep locked in a room.
And forget the cats.
But it's definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, I was sure that it was going to be a new team. It was going to be a completely new team.
Right.
Like, I thought it was going to be Black Panther.
West Coast Avengers, Secret Avengers, BET Avengers, whatever.
Yeah.
But, honestly, that surprised me there. So now it's,
not vulgar.
But I think the other theory, which I think a lot of people are thinking, is that we're going to get out of world.
Yeah.
Well, James Gunn's already nixed that. He says that we're not doing that until... We're not even showing him until after...
Guardians 3.
Guardians 3. That he would need his own story before you throw him in here with the whole...
Which sucks because I teased it at the end of Guardians 2. But, whatever.
That's what they're doing with Ms. Marvel.
That too.
Yeah. I'm thinking she's going to be like a... Maybe not a... I don't want to say a swerve, or maybe like a red herring or something to where we think that she's going to be the one that's going to come in and save. And I think it might be... Someone with one of the original Avengers is going to do something. Yeah. But I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do. Quite frankly, I like it. I like the fact that they haven't told us anything. I like the fact...
Deadpool 2 had that big swerve. You saw things in the commercial. It didn't happen
That was my favorite part. Hey, man, we're bringing you the X-Force. Are you ready?
Because you saw it start happening. You're like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Shatterstar.
At least he had the pose.
Alright, I think on that note, we're gonna...
Yeah,
we're
something gonna stabbing me. Yeah. I think it's time to leave.
Okay, alright. Well, thank you to our live audience.
Participated.
Appreciate it. And thank you for listening to this episode. As always, you can find us on popculturerewind.com. Also, through iTunes, just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Give us a rate and review. I don't care what you say about it.
Talk trash as long as we get 5 stars.
That's all that matters, right?
This is the worst thing I've ever seen since Teen Titans Go. I still get 5 stars. Just give them the 5 stars.
People like Teen Titans Go. But
really?
Some people.
I thought you did it. I kind of do.
Somebody's got to like it, otherwise Cartoon Network would...
There you go.
Right. 20 hours out of the day.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good
babysitter. Yeah. That and Caillou.
That one actually
appeared
before I really
passed
out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She's not in here.
That's why I did. That's why I did say.
It's a silly art style, but, you know, humor can work.
Yeah, they're talking Thundercats?
Thundercats, Thundercats War.
I want to let it premiere first.
You know what? I'm already okay with it. You know why? It's not for me. Like, I have my 80s Thundercats. I'm good with everything. If the new generation wants to watch it, that's...
I'm a little upset that the first reboot got canceled.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, someone else.
I was wholeheartedly enjoying it. I mean, come on.
That cliffhanger? I need that closure. I need that closure of that cliffhanger.
Yeah, that one was so... It's just like, we can't sell toys this, but you can sell toys of this one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, they never held a spot the entire run. They kept changing the spot on the...
Yeah. That's one where fans need to get together. That needs to get to that.
We're getting that. We're also getting a reboot or a new show for She-Ra on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to play out.
Zoids is coming back.
Is it? Yeah, that's right. I think Zoids I heard something. Back. Yeah, Zoids. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes.
On the DC Universe app.
Just funny. I didn't hear the Young Justice until Unlimited. Or was it Unlimited?
Unlimited.
Yeah. I thought the first series was okay. Then Unlimited happened. I was like, this is great.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it got canceled.
Yeah.
Like every time that's how I
they
like do it. Something,
they pull the rug out from under you right when you get
every
into
time
it.
Every time it's supposed to get good, they kill it off.
I revisited Young Justice probably maybe a year ago on when it was on Netflix. God, even rewatching it again, the story is like, the storytelling in that series is so good. It's near flawless, I think. But
I know some people probably have issues with either season one or the differences between the first two seasons.
Wasn't Jeff Johns the one who was running it?
Was he? Oh, okay. Well,
Mom said we gotta go.
And, I think I was wrapping it up. We got distracted anyway. So, you know, thanks again. And also, we're on social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also on Instagram as well. Just do a search for popculturerewind. I'm posting up pictures all the time. So until then, always remember to pop your culture.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!